All right, you ready for 1 Peter chapter 2? Let's look at it. Let me just introduce this by saying this. One reason, and I alluded to this a while ago, that little kids need parents is because if you leave them to their own, they're going to make some really, really bad decisions about everything. And those decisions could lead to their being sick or hurt or ruining their lives or even death. So one of the main jobs of parents is to be busy trying to explain the difference to our kids between bad decisions and good decisions, trying to steer them into making good decisions, and sometimes disciplining them when necessary to move them toward making the better decisions. And one of the obvious areas where that's true is in the area of eating, eating habits. If you say to your child, okay, whatever you want to eat, that's fine with me. Just eat whatever you want to eat. I don't care. Well, unless you've trained that appetite well, you know what they're going to choose. Lots of candy, lots of ice cream and cake and cookies and donuts and soft drinks and goody stuff like that. And you also know what the result will be, right? Yeah. Immediate result may not seem too serious first time it happens. I mean, they might be a little hyper and there might be a sugar crash in a little while. But in the long run, if they keep that up, it's going to be horrifying. Kids who don't eat a healthy diet will become weaker. They'll have a lot of unhealthy fat on their bodies. They won't have a normal bone density. They won't have good muscle mass. Their immune system will become compromised. The resistance to bacteria and viruses will become compromised, and they'll get sick quickly. And sometimes you can see it in their eyes if they're not eating a healthy diet. Eventually you will. And eventually, if they keep doing that and storing too much fat, they'll struggle with things like heart disease and diabetes and probably die young. So parents know better than to do that. They won't let the kids choose what they get to eat. They say, no, within reason maybe, but you got to eat this first. And like most other family relationships and family issues, there are some awesome spiritual lessons here for us. And he's going to teach it to us here in 1 Peter chapter 2. So he begins verse 1 of chapter 2 with the word so, or therefore, in some translations. So what I want us to do is go back a few verses and pick it up in chapter 1, verse 23. When you see that word therefore, you know it's connected to what's gone before. And so let's just pray one more time. Father, we're about to read your word now, and we're turning a corner in the class here. And Lord, I thank you for the class so far. Thank you for the good fellowship you've given us. And I thank you for what you're doing in Veritas. I don't fully understand what you're doing, but I thank you and I praise you. And I know you're working good things. And I pray you'd use this to help people, not just young people, but people in general, to get stronger in you and to get better equipped. Because, Lord, we're living in dark days and we have a very aggressive, secularized culture around us. And we know that many of our brothers and sisters are beginning to lose jobs and going through some pretty tough times. And many more who are not really committed to you are just dropping out of the battle completely. So help us, Lord, to be more effective and to be better equipped. But now we're looking at your word, and we know that your word is infallible, inerrant, perfect, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, living. And Lord, we want you to speak to us through your living word, and we want you to teach us what we need to learn this morning. We want you to be our teacher. We ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit and get glory for yourself and help us be more like Jesus as a result of meditating on your word here for these few minutes we have together. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. So, beginning back in chapter 1, verse 23, he says, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So, verse 1, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, the milk of the word, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if, and the Greek word implies since indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. What an awesome passage. I mean, that's just one of the great ones. But he's saying here, since you've been born again, that's verse 23 of chapter 1, and since you've tasted the goodness and the grace of the Lord, chapter 2, verse 3 there. And since there's a sense in which you're like newborn babies, all of you, you need to have a healthy spiritual appetite. That's what he's saying. He reminds them in verse 3 that they've tasted the goodness of the Lord. And I think he's telling them to remember how they felt, remember how they acted, remember what was going on in their hearts and minds when they first tasted Jesus, when they first came to the Lord. He said, don't forget that. You remember how that, and remember that, well, don't lose that. Most of these people came to Christ as adults, most likely. And that may have happened to you. I don't know. But if you came to Christ as an adult, you can identify with them maybe. So he's saying, remember, do you remember how good that was? You remember how it tasted so good when you first came to know Christ? You remember how you felt and how you acted when you first understood, wow, this, he really is God. He came in the flesh. He's lived a perfect life. He died for my sins on the cross. And he rose again. And he's alive forevermore, and he's mine. He's given himself to me, and he's forgiven my sins. My sins are gone now, and he's given me a reason for living, and I'm going to be alive forever with him, with God. It was overwhelming, you know, when you first realize, I'm one of God's kids. I'm one of God's kids, and it's so exciting. And you realize, God's got a purpose. It's not just for now, it's forever, and it's given to me by the very Creator God. I mean, awesome stuff. And there's a joy in that. There's a zest in that. There's a hunger in there. You remember how times in your life when you just couldn't get enough of God's Word? I mean, you just couldn't get enough. You kept finding reasons to get back into it. You wanted to spend more time, and you couldn't because you had to do the other responsibilities. He's encouraging believers, don't forget that. Don't forget that taste. Don't forget that taste. And if we're beginning, and it can happen to us as we grow older and all this becomes a little bit more routine to us, we can begin to lose some of the passion. We begin to lose some of the enthusiasm. We begin to lose some of the excitement that we used to have. And I think God wants us to recapture that. I think he wants us to think back to the way it used to be and recapture some of that enthusiasm, whenever it was in your life. And why is he emphasizing this? Well, it's partly because he wants us to maintain a healthy spiritual appetite. You know, he wants us to keep that healthy spiritual appetite. Just as there's a danger that little kids who load up on junk food, sugar, empty calories, unhealthy foods, they will lose their appetite for healthy foods, vegetables and meats. There's a danger that we'll lose our appetite for good spiritual food. And we'll start filling our mind with the equivalent of junk food. Spiritually, junk food is disastrous. So in verse 2, he says, God wants you to long, wants all of us to long for pure spiritual milk. The milk, the nourishment, the Word of God. Now, before we go any further, let's just pause here for a minute and think about some of the things that might come to your mind, because I bet some things are coming to your mind, that can dull our appetite for the milk of God's Word. What can dull our appetite? I'm sorry.
Watching TV.
Politics.
Internet. Just like everything else, if you eat filet mignon every day, it's no longer very tasteful. And so if you reach a certain plateau in your spirituality, then you become insensitive to further growth.
If you're not careful, yeah. Somebody said something over here.
Sin.
Sin, yes. I want to go there in just a minute. That's where God goes here, with sin. Yeah, exactly. But yes, all of a sudden, there's lots of things that are not sinful, though, that can dull our appetite. And you've mentioned several of them. I tell you, for me, for a lot of people, it's Facebook. I don't know how much you guys are into Facebook, but I talk to a lot of people who just can't hardly resist getting into Facebook. I don't have that. I'm on Facebook, but I don't have quite the thing that I used to have for it. When it first came out, I was pretty fascinated by it. But I tell you what it is for me. For me, I pick up my phone, sometimes even to study the Bible. I've got all my Bible study tools right there. It's awesome. It's a great tool. And then I just can't resist going over and check the news apps. And there's a bunch of news apps. And the next thing you know, I'm wandering down that news thing. And I'm reading this, I'm reading that, and I read about this. I see something else, and I get consumed by it. I can get consumed reading news. And
it looks so good.
Yeah. And I feel like I need to know. I mean, and that's okay. I mean, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying all this is sin. We just have to watch our balance here. There's lots of things. I mean, sports. It's football season. Sports. For some people, it may be crosswords. My mom couldn't hardly put down a crossword puzzle. She had to work a crossword puzzle. Playing cards, listening to your favorite music, hanging out with friends. All these things can be healthy. They can be good as long as we keep it balanced. That's the thing.
Kids.
Yeah. Time with kids.
I think about our
children and our grandchildren, and some of them are so wrapped up in the child and the activities of that child, they're not having family devotions.
Right.
They're not showing the priority that needs to be there.
Yeah.
It's all about the schedule. There's one family that drives me crazy and missing church because of sports.
Yeah.
And it just,
Well, all that stuff can take, not just take the place of, it can take all our energy, all our time. And so doing serious Bible study, serious word studies, running cross-references, memorizing verses, using God's word to direct my praying, using God's word to direct my praise, you know, all that's good stuff. But I just don't have the energy for it. I don't have the time for it because I'm consumed by this other stuff. And then, like Bethel said, there's something worse than this stuff, though, that can kill our appetite, and it's sin. And he lists that in verse 1. He says, put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. So some things may not be sinful, but these things are sinful. Some things we have to get a balance. Some things we just have to say, no. He says, put that away. It's not a matter of getting a balance here. There's no balance in sin. It's just no. And let's look at that briefly. He says, malice. You know what malice is? What's the word that comes to your mind? Anger?
Ill will?
Gossip? Yeah. Hatred? You want something bad to happen to somebody else. That's what malice is really all about. You want somebody else to get in trouble. You want to get hurt. Maybe you just wish somebody died and get away, you know, so you wouldn't have to deal with them anymore. Most of the time for us, we just wish they'd get put in their place. We wish they'd get cut down to size. Sometimes it has to do with politics this particular season. And sometimes it has to do with people in authority over us. It could be a boss or somebody like that. Sometimes it's somebody that's hurt us in the past. That's very common. We get hurt, and we want to hurt them back. We want to see them punished. Now, don't misunderstand me. God is a God of justice, and we ought to pray for justice. But we're not the judge.
Vengeance is mine,
God says. I'll take care of it.
Road rage.
Yes, road rage. Good example. So we want to pray for justice. Justice is a good thing. But even when God begins to see to it that justice gets done, our attitude, we need to be careful about our attitude. It ought to be, we're grieving. I mean, here's this person who's made all these horrible mistakes. They've done all this wrong stuff, and maybe we got hurt because of it. But it still grieves us that they're so messed up and they're so confused. Instead of just hatred and anger and malice, there's more grief, you know. I think that's what we need to work on. Malice will take away our appetite for God's word, for God. We need to get rid of it, confess it, repent of it. No, it's bad. He mentions deceit or guile. And again, we can get in the habit of just telling half-truths all the time to mislead people, to make ourselves look good, make people think better of us, keep ourselves out of trouble. God says that stuff is deceitful, it's guile. It's going to dull your appetite. You're not going to want my food. Hypocrisy, of course, is related to that. If we're living out a role, God knows what we're like when we're home with our wives or husbands. God knows what we're like all the time. If we're playing a role, talking like a Christian, deceiving others, really not walking with the Lord, certainly not going to have any appetite for the things of God. Envy comes when we haven't learned to be content with what God's given us. God's basically said, look, you've got me. You got me. What else do you need? Why do you envy all these other people? We can envy people because they've got power we don't have. We can envy people because they've got prestige we don't have, or because they've got money that we don't have, or because they have health that we don't have, or because they have influence over others that we don't have, or because they're getting attention that we're not getting, or because of education they've got that we don't have. We can envy people. And God's basically saying, why would you envy that stuff when you've got me? I'm the creator of the universe. You've got me. You don't need that stuff. And if my attitude is, well, I've got God all right, but what I really want is my health. What I really want is some more money, or what I really want is influence or attention, I've got a really, really serious problem. Because that's the same problem that the prosperity gospel people have. That's what they're doing. You realize the reason we say that's non-Christian, the prosperity gospel, is because they're not hungry for God. They're really not. They're hungry for stuff that they see God as a way to get. So they've got God there, and they'll talk about God, and they'll talk about the Bible, but they're not really hungry for God. They want God to give them stuff, and their God is the stuff. That's idolatry. That's all it is. That's all it is. And when we fall into that trap, we prove, man, I don't really know who God is. I don't really know what God's like. I don't really have a very clear view of Him. If I did, this stuff wouldn't matter so much. I might think I do, but when He's not enough, I just don't really know Him. And I think this is where genuine worship and praise can help. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about putting on the belt of truth. I think one of Satan's biggest attacks is to attack us about the nature of God. And God wants us to put on the truth about who He is and what He's like. And we have to remind ourselves of that because our little brains won't hold it. So we keep getting back into the Word. And a lot of great praise, worship, and songs have been written that'll help us here. But we keep praising the Lord to remind ourselves of how great God is and how great what He's done. And it's all about Him and not about this stuff. God isn't God just so He can give us this stuff that we want. That's a false gospel. That's envy. If I tell Vicki, I love you so much, and she says, why do you think you love me so much? And I say, well, I think it's because you're really good at medical insurance and medications, and I think you can keep me from getting sick. Or if I said, it's because you just bring home so much money, and I just love you because you bring all that money.
That was a joke.
I'm making chocolate cake.
But you know what she would say? She would say, hey, I don't think you love me. I think you love this stuff, you know. So that's the way it is with God. God's enough. We just love Him because He's God, because He loves us, and we love Him, and He's enough. We don't love Him because He can give me the stuff I really want, you know. Okay, finally, he mentions here in verse 1, slander. And that's running people down with our mouths. When we got malice and envy in our hearts, slander usually comes out of our mouths. We run people down. God's saying, put that stuff away. Get your focus on me. Put it away because it's going to keep you from hungering for my word. You're going to get sick, very sick. You know what medical research shows is the best perfect food for babies? Of course you do. What is it? Mother's milk. Yeah, mother's milk. That's God did that. God engineered that. He does it perfectly. And in verse 2, he's saying, I've got a perfect spiritual food for you. It's called my word. It's like mother's milk. And what happens when you deprive a baby of its mother's milk for a few hours? If it's healthy, it's going to be really unhappy. It's going to start crying. You know, and we can give it something else that might seem to satisfy its appetite for a while, like maybe Dr. Pepper instead of mother's milk. But that leads to bad outcomes. So if the baby seems to lose its appetite, what do? We go to the doctor, right? We say, hey, doctor, something's wrong. My baby's lost its appetite. The only thing it wants is Dr. Pepper. No, I mean, we'll say, it won't eat. What's wrong? We know something's wrong. Well, we need to do some self-examination. If we find ourselves losing our spiritual appetite for God's word, we need to say, Father, great physician, I need you to help me here. I'm losing my appetite. Something's wrong. This is not healthy. I know it's not healthy. Help me to examine myself. Help me to get my appetite back. And I'd like to share just a couple of tips that might help us get our appetite for God's word back. When I was a little kid, I was very, very skinny. I kind of got off to a bad start when I was a little kid. And my grandparents especially used to worry about me all the time because I was so skinny. And every time I was around them, they had food on the table. They wanted me to eat. Some of you might be able to identify with that. But my grandpa and grandma Payne were always encouraging me to eat something. And if I would say, I'm just not hungry, he used to say, well, sit down and start eating because you might eat with what he called a coming appetite. A coming appetite. You ever heard that phrase? He said, you'll eat with a coming appetite. And it was true. You know, sometimes I wouldn't feel like eating. I'd sit down and start eating. I thought, well, this tastes pretty good. It's pretty good. And I'd start eating. Bible studies that way. Have you noticed it? Yeah, there are times when I think, I've been out of the Word for a little. I need to study. I need to do a little study. I need to do a little reading. I need to maybe work on some memory verses here. But my flesh is weak, and there's other things I'd rather do, maybe read the news or whatever. But when I say, wait a minute, I'm going to sit down and start studying, start thinking, start reading, start praying, start memorizing, what happens? Get a coming appetite. I mean, oh, this is pretty good. This is pretty good.
Well, go ahead. That is so, I mean, he likes it to a newborn baby. You know, there is a fallacy in this world that says a newborn baby will cry when he's hungry. That baby will not do that unless he's taught what hunger is. A newborn has to be taught to eat. That's why you want to get mom and baby together in the very beginning. And the first milk, colostrum is very sweet, very high in calories, very high in what the baby needs, immunities and things like that. When we get in the Word, in the very beginning, he teaches us who he is.
That's good.
And that milk, over the period of time that child is nursing, changes. God changes it according to what that child needs at that age.
That's good.
The Word changes too in our hearts. He teaches us what we need on a day-to-day basis. But we have to stay in the Word.
Yeah.
Just like we have to feed that baby.
That's good. Good. Isn't that beautiful? And see, God created things like that, and so many times we don't even know it until somebody helps us see it, but that's good. That's good. I love it. Another tip that helps me a lot is don't underestimate the power of praise and worship. I think that's one reason we need to start our service with praise and worship. And it's one reason Vicki and I really try to get into it. I mean, we want to worship God well. And don't misunderstand me here. I'm not just talking about listening to good Christian music. Now, that's good. I listen to good Christian music, too, and sometimes I'm just listening. You know, it's kind of an entertaining background. That's healthy, I think. But I'm talking about here getting my mind so on God and what He's done and what He's like and what He's doing and worshiping Him that I get overwhelmed with Him. You know, it just get excited about Him. Not just listening to others praise the Lord. Our choir praises the Lord beautifully. And our orchestra, I mean, man, I love it. I love it. Yeah, they lead us, but that's what it's supposed to be. They're leading us to worship. And so we got to be careful that we do it ourselves. It comes out of our own heart, out of my own heart, through my own lips. You know, I'm worshiping God. It doesn't have to be song. I mean, some people don't want to sing because I don't know how to carry a tune. It can be just a spoken word. Singing is very powerful, but so is just speaking praise. I mean, you know, it's all powerful. Yeah, make the joyful noise. There you go. Yeah. So I would encourage you to do that. And think about how much time we spend every week eating physical food. We got to have it. And we know we got to have it. If we're healthy, we go back to that table. I mean, I'm going to be opening the refrigerator pretty quickly. You know, it's not going to be long until I'm looking for food. Well, our spiritual food is so much more significant. What did Job say? I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You remember that? Job 23. Jesus said to his disciples one time, I've got food to eat you guys don't know anything about. You remember? And then he told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was quoting words that God had already given Moses in Deuteronomy. Because no matter how healthy we can eat physical food, and we all want physical food, but no matter how healthy we eat, how well we eat, it's eventually not going to work. You realize that? These bodies are going to wear out. They're not designed to last forever. There'll come a point where we won't be able to eat any more physical food, not in this life. But that spiritual food builds up our strength, not just for now, but for eternity.
Amen.
Yeah. So we got to think, like a newborn infant, long for that spiritual milk. And there's a whole lot more here I want to say. I'll put it on a podcast, Lord willing, but we're going to have to stop. We're out of time. Yes?
Talk about that. It just comes to thought. You got the rich man that had the barn. He wanted to store up all this for himself. We can be in the Word and read the Word and store up all that within ourselves. But there's one thing lacking. We should take that information out of God's Word, just like Jesus did.
Yeah.
Well, share it now.
Yeah, good word. Good word, brother, because, yes, we're not supposed to be like a dead sea, receiving, but never giving out. But, yeah, we want to. It comes, and so we can bless others. That's right. Good word. Thank you. Yes.
I don't know what happened, but I think we need to hold up Philip and Alice. He got some kind of call.
Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you. Let's do that. We'll do that right now. Father, we thank you this morning for this time of fellowship in your word. Father, you know our hearts, and you know how easy it is for us to lose some of our appetite. The world offers so many things that have a good taste, but it's not very healthy. So help us, Lord, to recognize that and to learn to eat with a coming appetite, to get into your word, learn how to praise you and worship you and see how awesome you are, and then hunger for your word. Would you create within us a new appetite, a fresh sense of urgency about getting into your word, learning it, studying it, memorizing it, and like Ken said, sharing it, Lord, as you give us opportunity. Lord, we're not sure what's going on with Philip and Alice right now, but we pray for them. We know they need you, whatever's going on. And Lord, they've had a lot of struggles they've had to go through. So would you please be merciful to them and help them and give them grace and strength to help in time of need right now and hold them close. And if there's somebody there around them that needs to help them, give that person wisdom to know what to say or do and help them make good decisions right now. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you in the service coming up. Thank you for the opportunity to sing and to focus on you and then to listen. Help us to do that well. Help us to go out of here a little bit better equipped to do what you put us here on the earth to do. And as long as you leave us here with breath, Lord, we know that you intend for us to keep doing it, to stay in that battle. So help us to be effective spiritual warriors and to bring you great glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.